Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Jason, who's a massage therapist, is on the line. We're going to get him to him in a second. Dr. Dre, again, making some good points on Twitch today. Man, if that were my daughter, I'd be in jail in DW4, out walking on the streets freely, wrong on so many levels. That was a sad part of that conversation, too, was Ashley Solis telling her dad that she was going to be, like, massaging Deshaun Watson. And her dad was like, oh, yeah, he's such a great guy. You know, this is such a great opportunity for you. And it's like, man, that did not turn out all right. That's the whole don't meet your heroes kind of conversation.
Not only that, but it's one thing to say don't meet your heroes, but then when your heroes have done what allegedly Deshaun has done, and you've heard that the father said, I can't even watch a Texans game anymore. I'm not a Texans fan, and I was before. And the fact that when it's your daughter, I'm to Dre's point, you know, and I know Dre very well, and I know what kind of family guy he is, but I know how genuine he is and what, you know, what he's about, and I'm the same way. I mean, Lisa and I have the conversation all the time, like being a girl dad to have two daughters, like there's certain things, like you can say things to me, you can try and get under my skin, you can, you know, poke the bear per se. You start crossing the line to that level as it relates to those two girls or my wife, and we got a whole nother issue on our hands, and especially as it relates to those two girls, like, man, you should see just when my daughter says she was bullied on a playground, or she comes home and my wife's like, let me handle this one. Because I'm like, what's this kid's name? What's he look like? When's our next function? Or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, because Dre's right. There's a whole another level when you start talking about your kids.
Yep. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Jason, a massage therapist. You're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Jason?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
What's up, man?
All right. So, okay, look, check it out. I'll get straight into it. Okay, so legally, when you schedule an appointment, the appointment says, hey, it's for X amount of minutes or X amount of hours or whatever. Yeah. So anything that actually happens outside of that amount of time is actually not illegal. It's legal.
Gotcha.
Because if you're signing an agreement saying, hey, we're going to do work for X amount of hours or X amount of minutes, after that amount of time, you're two consenting adults. And it's not illegal, and it's not a thing that can actually hurt you. I'm telling you this because I know for a fact, because I've had conversations and I've been in incidents to where that's actually a thing. So if you sign an agreement for X amount of minutes or X amount of hours, after that time, you're a consenting adult. That's it. Bottom line.
Jason,
yeah, Jason, don't hang
before
up.
You go. Now. Yeah. I think what you said there is like the legal thing. I think we'd be naive to think Deshaun was not having some sort of sexual misconduct within that span. Have you had sexual relations outside of that window?
Oh, wow.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because you mentioned earlier that the wording was weird, how it said nothing happened in between that time frame. Because if something happens in between that time frame, it's illegal. But it happens outside of the time frame, then it's legal. And to answer your question, yes, that's how I know.
But Jason, how does it relate to if they aren't certified massage therapists? Because we also know that from the details that have come out, that's as it relates to an agreement with a massage therapist. What if you're an Instagram person?
True. But this is the thing. If there was paperwork for him saying, you know, yeah, I'm going to get a massage from this person for X amount of minutes, and he actually signed it, there should be paperwork. If there's no paperwork, then the pretend massage therapist, that's their fault because there's no paperwork. There should always be something that's signed. I know people who do massages who aren't even legally massage therapists, but they still have their paperwork because it's a trail. Yeah.
That's Jason,
so there's no trail.
One more that I wanted to ask you. Have you ever, like, it's a little different because you're a man, obviously.
I was going to say, Jeremy's going to go, Jason, have you ever had anybody do what Deshaun did?
Well, I wasn't going to say – I mean, yeah, kind of. Like, have you ever been in a situation where a client was making you feel sexually uncomfortable?
I've been in situations where I work privately from my home, so I have been in situations to where women have grabbed me. I've also worked for massage establishments around the city of Houston, and I've had a 65-year-old man grab my leg and tell me to do it sexier. Yes. Yes, I had a 65-year-old man grab my leg and say, and he said, "Do it sexier." So, and I've had women physically grab me in those places, and you know, when I say something, they're like, "Oh, I thought this was part of the massage." It is if I want it to be, but it's not. You know what I mean?
So, are there unwritten rules amongst? Yeah, I was going to say unwritten rules amongst you guys as massage therapists that discuss, like, even in training, like these things are going to literally pop up. How do you deal with them?
Yeah. Right. So if you're doing anything like that on table during the time that you're giving the massage, during a lot of time for the massage, then it's wrong.
All right.
There you
Jason,
have it.
Thanks, Jason for, thanks for shedding the insight. Yeah, appreciate you calling in, sharing some information. And I'm sorry that you know, those older women and those older men are making you feel uncomfortable whenever you're just trying to do your job. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. So, Blankers, I took exception to this. Today's Brendan Riley's birthday.
Happy birthday.
What'd you call him, the Motor City Masher?
Madman,
that's right. Motor City Madman. I like that nickname for Brendan Riley. So happy birthday, first and foremost, for Brendan Riley. Blankers went out and got him a cake. That was very sweet of him. Hope he blows out the candles. But he's 29 years old. He was talking about how he feels old today. And Blankers, we're older than him. Yep. I took exception with him saying that he feels old.
Yeah, look, I mean, this is a guy that like has done the reverse Benjamin Button. I mean, the guy just he becomes like Geritol-based AARP candidate with every passing day. The fact that he wanted to know if he was already going through midlife. He wanted to know, you know, he's worried about his age. I mean, this guy should be worried about, like, getting out of the house more for his next meal.
You guys don't have any sympathy for like, look, I only turned 29 this year, but you don't have any sympathy for 30?
No. You turning 30 whenever I'm going to be closer to 40. Yeah, Blankers is on the wrong side of 40. No.
Yeah, no.
I don't expect sympathy from Joel, if I'm being honest here. But I thought Jeremy would have some sympathy for me.
Hold on. Why do you feel like I'm going to stick up for Blankers here. Why don't you think Blankers would have any sympathy for you?
I just feel like you're a little bit closer to the 30. I feel like you might remember it more than Joel.
Are you saying
I got plenty of memories, like the corner of my mind. But guess what? They don't drive me on a daily basis, and I'm still getting the most out of life every day. I am concerned about you some days with stories you tell me about getting the most out of your life no matter how old you are.
I didn't necessarily say I'm getting old. I'm just not looking forward to the next birthday.
But aren't you acting like it more than you are by the number itself?
Am I acting like I'm
You're old? Acting like you're old already.
Sure, a little bit.
Okay, well, that probably lends it to why you have the kind of train of thought you have.
I mean this genuinely, I enjoy what I do for work. And so my 20s kind of flew by a little bit. Not that they don't for everybody.
I enjoy what I did for play, so my 20s and 30s flew by
And not to say that doesn't happen for everybody, but I just got to a point where I was like, oh, damn. Like, I can't believe, like, it's crazy to me. I've almost been down here as long as I was in Grand Rapids, and that doesn't feel like that at all.
That should be a bigger blessing than you really make it, getting out of Grand Rapids and spending more time in Houston.
A lot of the Twitchers are saying, only 29? Like, how can you be complaining about your age when you're only 29?
Okay.
Like, no, I'm not going to have sympathy for you in 365 days when you turn 30, whenever I'm going to be 365 days closer to 40. You can't be telling people that are older than you that you feel old.
Okay.
It's a reoccurring theme, too. It's not the first time this has happened.
I know that beating up on Brendan is part of the show. It's something we all do.
We're not beating up here. We're trying to talk sense into
you. But here's what I'm going to say.
This isn't beating up on you. This is giving you harsh reality.
Here's what I'm going to say. Whether or not you want to admit it, both of you guys and everybody listening over the age of 30 was not looking forward to their 30th birthday. The difference is you guys now have other birthdays that you're not looking forward to. And I'll say this. This is some of my own fault. I've made fun of people who are 30-plus for being old my entire life, and I just, like, can't do that anymore.
I'm not sure that I remember, like, turning 30 being, like, this big milestone where I was scared of, to be honest, where I felt bad. I don't remember. Here's the thing. I don't remember. So I don't remember if it was a positive or a negative. Like, I just don't remember. It's too long ago. Which is another example of why you shouldn't feel old, because I'm already forgetting about that.
Jeremy doesn't remember the last time that he went to the bathroom. I mean, it's – look, here's the thing. you don't have to celebrate the milestones every year. You don't have to celebrate the number or the day. It's how you live the rest of the 360-some-odd days. And the way you live tells me that you're closer to 70 than you are to 40. That's what you should be concerned
with. So are you telling me I need to do more irresponsible stuff?
Not even irresponsible stuff, but just enjoy life.
For the sake of the show, I want you to do irresponsible things. And then talk to us about it the next day.
I used to live that every day with two guys that used to share their life experiences. So I believe that you can do it too. Barry and Nick.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, we need that on the show. We need that on this show. I feel like we need it for the health of the Killer Bees, Brendan.
I'm almost 30
now. You
got
to do it for the show.
I can't do irresponsible stuff anymore.
You got 365 days to do irresponsible things.
But you don't have to do irresponsible things. You don't have to be so overly responsible that you barely get out.
No, I want them to do irresponsible things.
I know you do. I mean, the biggest issue in your day after a weekend shouldn't be if the hot water was working in the shower long enough. It should be like that you didn't need your own shower and you got out and were tearing it up with the either the boys or otherwise, you know, whoever you were hanging out with. You took a random, you know what, you got a wild hair up your ass and you went to Austin for the weekend and man, did you have fun and went here and did that and ran into this person and barely made it back for the show. And I'd be like, our boy is growing up, Jeremy, right before our eyes. Not our boy is ready to retire.
Flimsy saying turning 30 felt crappy, but I haven't thought about it much since that day. Brennan's going to be thinking about it for the next 365 days. Pearland Chris says, I'm 40 today. Happy birthday, Chris. Happy birthday, Pearland Chris.
Maybe you should pick up Brendan after work and try and get him out a little bit.
Yeah, that'd be great. 713, and then tell us all the stories the next day. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. When we come back, how would we be talking about the Astros if Pena didn't pan out? Also, the Yankees fans making fun of Astros fans for thinking something was good. That's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, look, I mean, Apollo Men's Health can help too, Brendan. I mean, it just depends on what you need help with. Apollo Men's Health is here today so that you enjoy every day and get the most out of it. Because a lot of people are just letting life pass them by on a daily basis. They don't have the energy they once had. They don't feel the kind of get up and go that they used to always have when they were in their 20s or even their 30s. Or even as they get later into their 40s and 50s and 60s and wherever they are at this point in their life, they need help. Apollo is here to help. Both men and women, it starts with hormone therapy. It can help give you more energy on a daily basis. I get a B12 shot every Friday, and that B12 shot does similar things. It gives you a little bit extra boost. You're not trying to win the Olympics. You're trying to win the day. And as part of doing that, maybe you're trying to work out more. You want to get on a workout program. Start with a full body composition analysis so you can chart your progress. Every so often, do another one. You may feel like you've hit a wall, but then you realize your body fat's down, your weight's down, your muscle's up, and you are feeling better about yourself instantaneously. Recover quicker, HGH peptide therapy. You want to get things for your smoothies? They got that too. Two locations to better serve you, both near downtown Houston, getting ready to have a third in League City opening up in June. Look for them online, ApolloMH.com. Book your first appointment with them and find out most major insurance is accepted. Discounts for military personnel. Mention my name, Joel Blank, and ESPN 97.5. Get a free B12 shot or a free body composition analysis on your first visit. Then let the process go from there. They're going to ask you tough questions. If you give them honest answers, they're going to put you on a plan that works. They're going to get your results. I love the people at Apollo Men's Health.
Turn down for what? Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, let's give away a pass to watch the big fight on Saturday. Five-time world champion Gervonta Tank Davis defends the WBA lightweight title against number one ranked contender Rolando Romero. Two undefeated fighters in a matchup for the ages. Live on pay-per-view Saturday, May 28th, 9 Eastern, 8 Central, 6 Pacific. Go to Showtime.com to order now. Caller number 6 to 713-780-ESPN wins a pass to watch that fight on Showtime this Saturday. Caller 6, 713-780-3776. All right, Blankers, question I teased you.
I'm here.
How would we be talking about the Astros if the Jeremy Pena decision did not pan out?
It's interesting because this is something that I broached to Brendan this morning because it's worked out so well. And I brought it up because of the fact that we would probably be focused on the guys that got away. We would still be hyper-focused on a daily basis on Carlos Correa. We'd be looking at your guy, Trevor Story, going, oh, my God, he's starting to break out of it. He's feeling comfortable.
There's a guy.
We should have gotten him because he had, you know, four bombs in less than 48 hours and a grand slam, and he's really starting to get hot. And what do we got? Like, this was the ultimate best-case scenario for the Astros, the organization, the James Click, and the fan base, because it's now a problem they don't have to deal with. As big a problem as this was all offseason, as big of a harsh reality that they didn't want to face that Correa was going to go away, Astros fans had as much trepidation in the fact that once he leaves, the other thing is when the other shoe falls, Peña doesn't seem to be ready. Is Aledmys Díaz going to be going back to being a regular shortstop? Can he handle it? Do they got to go find somebody else? Because that whole equation has been erased, it's made life a whole hell of a lot easier for Astros fans. And winning helps, too. But the fact that this kid has just come in from day two, because day one was a little shaky, coming in from day two in his first stint in the major leagues and just taking the fan base and the whole league by storm and done what he's been able to do, I don't think people really realize how big of an asset and bonus that's been.
Yeah, he's been the second-best position player in the American League, if you look at WAR, what is it good for, behind only Mike Trout, who's the best player in this generation. So, Jeremy Peña, so far through the 40 games, for quarter point of the season, still a lot to play, still a lot to prove, has been a great find for the Houston Astros. And, like, I think the question is, whenever the lockout stopped, I think that the answer, obviously, was Carlos Correa to be the shortstop for the Houston Astros, right? Like, everybody in the city wanted to still pay the man. They wanted to pay Carlos Correa. They wanted Correa to be the shortstop. They wanted to keep this core that has been so great for the Houston Astros together. And I don't blame anybody for that. I would balk at some of the contract numbers that were thrown out there, but especially for the one he signed for, I felt like that was disappointing when it happened. In hindsight, not a great call. But after Carlos Correa left to Minnesota, do you think that Jeremy Peña being the opening day shortstop was still unpopular? Because I think it was when you look at the scope of, like, free agency, like Trevor Story. People wanted Trevor Story in this town ahead of Jeremy Peña. So I think it's like there's two ways to look at it. I think most people wanted to go find somebody in free agency, not have Jeremy Peña up right away. But I felt like if it was the internal decision, like if it was going to come from within the organization, I felt most people wanted Peña.
I think that the quick fix is what everybody's always looking for, right? The easiest way to move on from somebody is to bigger, better, right? And I don't know that you're going to find better, per se, than Carlos Correa in a lot of ways, especially with his leadership and his mound visits. But I think that when you look at it, you'd say, hey, fans would be a lot more resigned to accepting Correa's departure if it meant you went out and got Corey Seager, or if he wasn't available, you got Trevor Story, or whoever else was available on the open market, Javi Baez, one of those guys, or you made a trade for a frontline proven shortstop. But the fact that we were sitting there even during camp and Dusty was being asked, are you going with Peña? Are you going with Diaz? Because they're both in the mix. And even then, when Dusty came out and said, I think I'm going with the kid, that the way we're leaning right now, you know, he's going to have every chance to succeed. I think a lot of people stood back and went, well, wait a minute. This is a World Series caliber team. We sure you want to do that? And, you know, there was a lot of doubt. And I think it's people have looked past this too long to say the comparisons are also very unfair, because the other thing, and I heard the bench talking about this morning, we need to be judging and basing all of our evaluation on Jeremy Peña on just Jeremy Peña. Because to say that Jeremy Peña has a less than average arm just because he doesn't have the rocket of Carlos Correa is unfair to Peña, and I don't think it's accurate. I think that the same way we can sit there and figure out, hey, you're going to chase his stats and you're also going to chase him as it relates to Carlos Correa. Well, that's your prerogative. But in terms of just Jeremy Peña being the best Jeremy Peña he could be for the Houston Astros, how could he be much better? That's what we should be focused on.
Right. I think there's always going to be the comparisons there, though. Like, I mean, you always compare, like, Berkman to Bagwell whenever you had that transition happen. So, you're like, Chris Burke.
But do you feel
Craig
like
Biggio.
He's got a below-average arm at
below
shortstop?
Average? No.
Average?
I think he's got slightly above average.
I do, too.
Arm, to be honest with you. No, it's not the can. And look, whenever you compare it to Correa, it doesn't look all that great. But it's still good enough. And, I mean, even the numbers would tell you that defensively he's been very good. He's got the number 6 defensive WAR in the American League. So, like, was he Correa last year? No, I don't think he was Correa last year, and he certainly doesn't have the arm, but his arm plays. Like, you don't need to throw it 98 miles right. an hour across the diamond to get a hitter out. Peña's arm's still good enough, and I think that I don't know if he's going to have like the range as Carlos Correa.
I agree.
I think it's pretty close.
I mean, I think that's fair. I don't think that. Look, Carlos is built a little differently in terms of his flexibility and his ability to move side to side, his lateral movement.
But he was also a big shortstop. Now, he was a little more slender than Peña.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, because he's more slender. That's why the same reason why we think that Peña has more pop than Correa is also the same reason why we believe that Correa had more range than Peña does. And that's not a slap at either guy. It's just different variables for different players, and that's part of the evaluation. But when you look at it, and look what this kid's been able to do with the high expectations that were there for the shoes that he was filling, and the fact that he continues to do it, even fighting through some injuries and other things, it's the absolute best-case scenario that you ever could have written if Carlos Correa was going to walk out that door.
No, I completely agree, and I think that the Astros probably need to get some, you know, we need to condemn them for that, because they made a good decision. They didn't pay Correa a big amount of money. They didn't go out and sign a Marcus Semien. Now, this was pre the lockout with Semien Seager and Baez, but they didn't panic and sign Trevor Story, who, look, Trevor Story is coming on recently. I still wouldn't pay Trevor Story
and
that amount of money.
He was still sitting there when all of this kind of came to fruition.
Story was the only one left, right? Story was the only one left after Correa. So, yeah, you have to give the Astros credit for that. And Peña's been a great find. Somebody texting in, which is, this is a pretty insightful text, 1460. Do you think the Peña will still win Rookie of the Year with Julio Rodriguez heating up? Look, still three quarters of the season to play. I think he's got a good shot, or at least top three so we can get the draft pick. That is something that is kind of a new thing. It is a new thing with the new CBA, that if you have a prospect that comes up with 60 days or fewer of Major League service and they win the Rookie of the Year, or if they finish top three in MVP or Cy Young, you get a draft pick in the Major League Baseball draft, which is weird. I don't know if I like that, but the Astros could capitalize on that. Now, you could gain a draft pick as well, an international selection, if you finish second or third in Rookie of the Year. So Jeremy Peña, not only could he help the Astros on the field in 2022, but if he wins or finishes top three in the Rookie of the Year voting, he could help the Astros with a draft pick or an international selection as well.
And I think that's all fine and dandy. I think the bigger thing is that he can contribute and help this team chase another World Series that otherwise you might have had to find external help for by the deadline. And now you can just focus on true other needs this team might have as they get ready for a stretch run. I think that the draft pick is one thing, but the fact that you don't have to pay attention to shortstop when he's in the lineup and he's healthy, and so far he's been both with the exception of a little stint with a knee, you look at it and say, I don't think anybody realizes, and I think a lot of people take for granted, where this team would be in terms of transactions they would have to make before the deadline had he not turned out so far the way he's turned out. Sure, Rookie of the Year would be great, but the fact that he's become the everyday reliable and basically outstanding starting shortstop for the Houston Astros is all that I ever needed him to be. That's why from the get-go I just said, just be the best Jeremy Peña you can be. I don't care if you hit 250, 260, 270. I don't care if your numbers are best in the American League or one of the top three or four. Just be there, be available, and do your job. And he's doing that and more. So the rest is icing on the cake as long as he just keeps doing what he's doing, whether he wins Rookie of the Year or not.
Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Art, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Art?
Hey, well, obviously, Peña's doing the best-case scenario for, you know, instead of Correa. But is there any chance that the Astros would be better if they still had Correa? Or, like, say they had kept Correa, how would it work out with both of them on the team? Like, would we have been better off if, now that we know what Peña is, to say, hey, we have both of these guys, would they have been able to, I don't know, trade one of them? Or, I don't know, how would it even work if Correa was still on the team?
Let's appreciate the call, Art. Let's answer that on the other side. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. 713-780-ESPN. How could that work? Also, I want to get into this the Yankee fan stuff that we've been teasing throughout the entire show. We'll do it next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, tell you about Frankie's Italian Kitchen. This is it, guys. This is the final week at their current location before they move to bigger and better things. That means a bigger location, indoor and outdoor, more space, more seating room, a big bar, live music, and the chance to really take care of their customers even more so than just with the food because of you. Because you've heard me speak about them, because you've heard other people tell you how great it is, because you've went and sampled it for yourself and you continue to go back again and again. That's why Frankie's Italian Kitchen is moving to their new location. But before they do, if you make reservations, they're going to take care of you this week with some great specials and basically going all out for your final experience at the last location before you get to the new location for bigger and better. That's why Chris Smith does what he does, because he's the owner, he's the chef, and he loves his customers. Go in there and mention my name. He's going to take great care of you regardless, but he's going to take extra great care of you because he values what has been able to be built by us talking about him and him doing what he does on a regular basis. Go to Frankie's Italian Kitchen TX.com and see the menu, see all the different things on it, all the different things you might want to sample and try. And then also check out those weekly specials because they change from week to week and they only last as long as the ingredients do. But if you catch one before they run out, boy, are they extra special. They are fantastic, delicious, and they're all made with the expertise and love that Chris and his staff put into it. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. They are the best at Italian food in the area. It's Frankie's Italian Kitchen, TX.com.
You're listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right, we had the caller ask us just as we went to break, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Did you watch the finale of This Is Us yesterday?
I know.
I'm anti-spoiler, by the way. That's my big hot take in life. Like, you should never talk about
shows. I'll bet that it made you cry.
I didn't watch it.
That are loyals, I bet it made them cry.
Sorry, Joel, did you hear his hot take in life is anti-spoiler?
Yeah, I'll stand on the table for, you know, not spoiling TV shows.
My hot take is that the sun is warm.
No, dude, you don't understand, like, the history of the station. They would talk about shows, like, the very next day. They would talk about Game of Thrones, like, the very next day.
I mean, I still think you're on the popular side here.
He tries to be. Yeah, by the way, there's plenty of cake left over. We'll put a piece or two in the fridge for you. But I told Brendan now, because he can really let his hair down and let loose tonight, he should take some cake home. He should stop at the grocery store on the way home and get his favorite ice cream. He'll be able to game for an hour or two. Just go crazy. Go nuts. Maybe go online and get into some good gaming. And then be able to take your whoobie and your meds.
Whoobie.
Your favorite binky. And then, you know, have your cake and eat it too, along with the ice cream. Get a good night's sleep and call it a huge victory, a birthday celebration.
You know, if he got really wild, he could put on a pot of coffee. Caffeine in the evening. Whoa.
Ooh.
Look
and
out.
And you know what? He went all out and he's going to order in his favorite delivery food. So that he doesn't have to overexert and walk across the street to pick up what else he might have ordered.
That's not a bad idea. It's a good way to treat himself. Brandon, are you doing anything for your birthday?
Crossword puzzles.
What I told Joel, Wednesdays are far and away my busiest work days. I will probably wrap up working and then watch Netflix.
Okay.
Video gaming, good? Cake and ice cream?
I mean, I had my cake already earlier.
Well,
today.
Now you can eat it too.
Eat it too.
Ha-ha.
Jinx. Anyways, we had that caller that asked us, what would
was
the Astros
caller
look
texter?
Like? It was a caller.
We got it on text too, but go ahead.
Do you forget the call?
I mean, you forget your birthday, so what the hell's the difference?
Art? Yeah, it was Art.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
It was Art Howell that was calling us asking what Jeremy Pena would look like if Carlos Correa was still on this team. You would have to go to Sugarland and watch him at Constellation
Field.
Yes,
you would.
He wouldn't be on this team. The Astros wouldn't start the clock on Jeremy Pena to be a utility guy, like they're not going to start the clock on Pedro Leon to
Correct.
Be a utility guy.
Could not. He was saying it, and I knew we would be on the same page with that one, too. I just knew that there's no way that you would even be able to judge that. Because of the fact, and because depending on the contract Correa signed, you wouldn't be looking to trade one versus the other anyway. The real valid question is, would this team be better this season with another year of Carlos Correa and say that he got the same deal he got from Minnesota from the Astros? Would this team be better or as good with Correa as they've been so far with Pena? That's a good question.
Well, Pena's had a better year than Carlos Correa.
So there you go. So is that your answer?
Yeah.
I mean, think about the leadership, the mound visits.
Yeah, I just don't know how the Astros are going to overcome that. That's a great point. You know, I didn't think about that. I'm glad you brought that to my attention.
Yep.
I'm just not sure how the Astros are going to, you know, continue on and be able to be a successful organization without the leadership that Carlos Correa brought and without the mound visits and tapping Framber Valdez. How is Framber Valdez on this tear recently? Like, the fact that he's getting out of jams, the fact that he has a sub-2 ERA in his last 7 starts, that he's looking like, you know, a top-of-the-rotation pitcher. How in the world is he doing that without Carlos Correa motivating him on the mound in between, you know, in the middle of the fifth inning or whatever?
Valid questions, Jeremy. Questions that need to be answered.
I do not understand. I just don't get it. Anyways, Yankee fans are Yankee fans watch Astro broadcasts so they can try to poke fun at the Houston Astros, by the way, which is kind of hilarious because the Astros live in Yankee fans' minds rent-free. But I actually agree with the Yankee fan a little bit here. The Astros had a Strow poll where they polled the TV audience, go to Twitter, vote on this poll. But the Astros had a poll. Which stat or stats do you consider the best measurement of how good a player is offensively? 45%, they said OPS, which I love a good OPS. The second most, though, was batting average of 27%, higher than wins, weighted runs created, higher than offensive war. I actually agree with the Yankee fans here. Astro fans that participated in this poll that led to 27% saying that batting average is the stat that you consider the best measurement of how good a player is offensively. We got to do better than that, Houston. We got to be better than that.
Who cares? Like, I know that you're a stat nerd,
in the poll.
But, like, who cares? Because it's the same thing with over attention and reaction to segments of the population that choose different ways to communicate with us, right? We take it so seriously sometimes, like, we know that they know what they're talking about, and we know that, you know, that they're the vote, that everything that they say, they're experts, and we don't know who's playing Brendan for the night and sitting in the big chair with the bowl of ice cream watching Astros baseball. It could be my man that went back to his Little League days to make comparisons. When
1957, by the way.
Talking about baseball, that could be the same guy that says batting average is most important. It might not be the diehards that are there, that like Dr. Dre with season tickets, or the people that, you know, watch him every night and go whenever they can, that, you know, follow every part of this team. Todd the Show, being one of our guys that's, you know, over-the-top baseball guy. So it just because Yankee fans are losing their mind over a stupid poll during the telecast, I mean,
Do you agree with them?
Well, you know what I agree with? Their selection and which broadcast team to watch. Because TK and Blummer are 150 times better than Michael Kay and frickin' Beltran and whoever else they throw out there.
Cameron Maybin is in there as well.
Oh, boy. Gee, there was a reserve outfielder for the Astros. Yay, Yankees.
I mean, I think it's two different conversations because I agree with you. The Astros living rent-free in Yankees' heads, which is great to see. It's awesome because the Astros are here. They've arrived. They're here to stay. I'm just
those same Yankees. By the way, Branham, think about
the batting average.
Think about this, Branham. Think about this. If the Yankees fans are watching and they're paying attention to the poll, do you think that they voted to try and have something that they could go at Astros fans for?
That's a good call.
They might have voted enough to make it batting average so that they had something to actually point a finger and like laugh about.
Okay.
You're
all
welcome.
Right. That's well played. I like where your head's at there. Good job, Blankers. I like that.
Thank you.
4965 texting us in. What is your problem with Correa? He has stood up for our entire franchise. I don't get it. I'm glad you asked. I really am, because sometimes I do come across as anti-Correa. I love Carlos Correa. Carlos Correa was my favorite Houston Astro. It's actually not a problem against Carlos Correa. I love Correa. I love what he did. I thought he had a great career as a Houston Astro, and I wish him well in Minnesota, and I'm glad he got paid the most money average annual value for an infielder all time. The tenor of what I'm getting across with the mound visits and the leadership was other stations that maybe don't talk baseball as well as our station. They were talking about how the Astros would just never recover from losing Carlos Correa's leadership, that the mound visits that Carlos Correa gave to the pitchers was his best attribute as a Major League Baseball player. Wasn't his gold glove, wasn't his, you know, bat, which is pretty good, not
rocket
great,
arm.
But good. Wasn't his rocket arm. People on other stations were literally saying that Carlos Correa's best attribute was his leadership and his mound visits. And look, I'm not even knocking Carlos Correa's leadership. I think that there is value to that. But if you start to say that's his best attribute, you are clueless about the game of baseball. So it's more anti that take than anti Carlos Correa. I love Carlos Correa, so it's not an anti Carlos Correa thing. So I'm glad you asked. 4965.
Yeah, there you go. Glad you got that off your chest. We're able to kind of clear that up for the masses that might be confused in some way, shape, or form because they're not loyal Hivers. That's fine.
Yeah.
By the way, I brought this. Put this on the rundown this morning. I actually really enjoy Jeff Bagwell on the telecast.
Enjoy his insight. Anti-analytics, too.
He's starting to get more into that. But you know what? He's kind of loosened up a little bit, too. He's not as uptight. He's admitted, like, even when he started talking about radio and the fact that when he sat in on radio, it was different because you actually had to, like, have a small window of time to be able to say what you had to say. And he goes, you know, I can't do that. And I like it better when Blummer's there too, because then you get the best of both worlds. You can get the analytics and kind of the new modern broadcasting that I really like out of Blummer. But you also get that insight from a Hall of Famer that is still recent enough that people relate to with Bagwell. So I actually enjoy him on the telecast. It's refreshing when he's in there. I do look forward to it when it's him and Blummer as well.
I like it more when it's him and Blummer. I don't want Bagwell taking Blummer's spot.
No,
that's kind of where
very
I'm
clear on that as well.
Yeah, so I feel like Blummer needs that chair, but I love when Bagwell is the top fill-in, and I do love the three-man booth. I think the three-man booth is pretty cool as well. So I think he does a good job. He is very anti-analytics, which is I actually is refreshing to me. Like, people think I'm over-the-top analytical, and I do think that the numbers tell a story, but I also very much am old school, too. Like, I'm a rare hybrid of old school purist versus, like, modern-day baseball. So I actually like hearing Bagwell go against the grain when it comes to, like, the modern-day era. Todd, the show, says, never been more proud to be called an over-the-top baseball guy. And 0830 says,
my dude, just Todd realized that as much as I respect his baseball takes, I will never respect him being in the parental pickup line, and I will get every chance that I can to have him get caught literally listening to us and look like his pants are down.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. We'll take your reaction on this if you want to get in. Also, when we come back, I want to ask you the question. We don't talk a whole lot general NFL, but I'm curious right now as we talk in late May, which NFL divisional champ you think could be in the most trouble in 2022? That's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, right now I want to tell you about new brakes, because if you're like Brendan and you're out on the town all the time and you're racing around because you're so busy with all of the different hustle and bustle in your life, sometimes you wear out your brakes. And like, you know, the Motor City Madman went with his automobile, he's got to take care of his brakes as well as he takes care of everything else in his life, like his ability to create fine desserts with fruit and other things. In order to do that appropriately, you got to go to newbrakes.com, because new brakes is better than any other way that you've either gotten your brakes done in the past or considering doing again. Simply put, because they save you time, which is saving you money, by coming to you to do what they do. So therefore, you don't have to go to a brake shop, wait in a waiting room, sit there and drink cold coffee and watch bad TV and be at the mercy of a mechanic that's going to take his time because he doesn't have a full schedule. No, you go to a place where all they do is brakes. They have certified technicians that all they do is brakes. They're not going to upsell you on anything else. Their prices are competitive with every brake shop in town. Their warranties and all the different things that they offer, just like every other brake shop in town. Prices similar to every other brake shop in town, but the best thing is they come to you to do what they do. You could be at work. You could be doing your meetings and your emails and all the different things you got to do to get through the day. You're getting all that done, not wasting time at a brake shop, because they come to you and do it in your parking garage. Fix your brakes while you're doing your work. Do it the same thing at the house. Garage, driveway, it doesn't matter. They're fixing your brakes. You could be cutting the lawn. You could be watching a game. You could be scratching honeydew off the list. That's the way they do it. That's the way they make their money, because it's the best way to get your brakes done. Go to nubrakes.com right now, newbrakes.com, and sign up and get your brakes fixed that way. You're going to find out not only is it everything that I said and more, but if you mention ESPN 97.5, you're going to save 10%, but save more than that. Save time, which is saving money. Go to newbrakes.com.
Razor sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I'll be out tomorrow. Blank will be out Friday. But Blank will be taking care of you tomorrow. He and BK.
Are you out Friday too?
Yeah, I'm out Friday too.
Well, there you go. So we're not saving you any cake.
Okay, that's fine. I'll be in next Tuesday.
Oh,
but anyways, BK
back.
And Blank tomorrow. That's going to be good stuff. Blank, BK's a machine.
I enjoy working with BK.
7 hours of radio tomorrow? Yeah.
Well, Friday you get the People's Champ and Gallant for 5 hours.
You mean the Who Said It Champ?
Well, the People's Champ of Who Said It, yeah.
I don't think he's the People's Champ. I think we share that title.
That's true.
As the people champion of the world, The Rock says. War is the dumbest stat to measure a player by. OPS makes more sense than batting average in today's game, too. OPS by far over batting average in terms of measuring offense productivity. I don't understand why you could say war is the dumbest stat to measure a player by. If you look at top 10 war by the end of the year, it's usually the best 10 players in baseball. I think it has its flaws.
Can we
and everybody's
just enjoy the game, however the way we choose to enjoy the game, and stop nitpicking others for how they enjoy it? Thank you.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
I think it's worth the conversation. Like, which numbers do you value for a quarterback? Like, I mean, it's just the same as that. You know, people that – this isn't you because I know you have a very good understanding of, you know, the analytical part. I think you kind of put more on the eye test, which I think is fine. Like I said, I think both matter about the same. People that just dismiss analytics, it's not you, those people just don't understand it. Like, see, it's one of those things where you just don't want to understand it, don't want to learn it.
I think that's true, and I think that there is a good cross-section of the get-off-my-lawn type people that don't. My thing is embrace both. My thing is never that I'm more one way or the other. My thing is, why can't you take the best of both worlds to get the absolute best evaluations or game plans that you possibly can? My frustration with Daryl is he couldn't see the eye test. I knew too many guys on the coaching staff related to the how it works across the league that kept saying – they're not paying enough attention to the eye test. And my whole thing is just like anything else. Why can't y'all meet in the middle and realize, like, when you're game planning and scheming, analytics makes a whole hell of a lot of sense sometimes to try and figure out what works and where you may be able to capitalize. But at the end of the day, don't lose sight of the fact that in order to get those analytics to take shape the way you want them to, the guys have to get along. They have to play on the floor together and play and know where they're going to be and have some kind of chemistry. And other things matter too. I think that the frustration I have more so now is, as much as we try and turn the corner and get more analytical, we can't also not lose sight of what got you to this point, which is the eye test and the chemistry and the other things of the human element.
Yep, I couldn't agree more. I think people went too far into the deep end with analytics that they forget the eye test. And again, I think that there's a whole lot of value in both, so why not collect all the information? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. This is a fun question. Okay. 1460, out of all the Astros that have left us recently, who is most likely to come back to end their career?
Who's going to Carlos Beltran it?
That's a good way to put it.
I would say Correa. I would say that
would there be a spot for Correa, though?
I mean, it doesn't have to necessarily be shortstop. We see a lot of shortstops that get older in their career. They go to third base. They go to other places on the diamond. They go to first base. I mean, Jeff Bagwell was talking about growing up being a third baseman, being moved to first base. At a certain point, you can change positions, especially how it's dictated by how you are physically and what point you are in your career. But I think Correa loves it here. He had a great time here. He's going to get his bag of money. He's going to cash in. And at a certain point, he may want to finish where he started and get back to where he likes to be. And because Daniela is from this area, I think he would be the most likely, in my mind, to come back and finish their career here.
You heard it here first. Carlos Correa to succeed Alex Bregman as the Houston
Didn't
Astros third baseman.
Yahoo clickbait headline guy. Did not say that.
Somebody's saying George Springer. See, I don't think Springer wants to be back.
I don't feel like he had that attachment to this area. I think
he liked his teammates more than like the organization.
It's a great call. I think he loved the locker room. He loved winning. He loved all the elements of the run they were on, but he's an East Coast kid. He didn't love the way he was treated early in his career. He is not the kind of guy that has the same kind of emotional attachments to the city as Correa does. And so for that reason and more, I'm glad someone didn't say Gerrit Cole. But I think that, you know, I think Correa is the guy, and I think that's why Springer won't.
Yeah, I don't think that there's a really good example. I really don't know. I don't think there's a good one out there. Roberto Osuna, is that too soon?
Too soon.
Yeah, 713-780-ESPN. Dick Willie saying Greinke's coming back. The Astros have a surplus.
Tell Dick Willie to go back
starting
to
pitchers.
Being the backup singer for ZZ Top with a ping pong paddle in his hand.
P-boy. All right, Dick Willie, go back to being the backup singer for ZZ Top. 713-780-ESPN. Guess the Astro who's getting the day off, because Dusty's going to Dusty.
Oh,
now, I will tell you this.
You saw the lineup already?
Yeah, the lineup's out. Dubon is starting in center field, so I'm not going to throw the trick question there with like the Chaz Siri center field thing. Yeah. But there is a regular getting the day off for Christian Javier today. Name that regular with the day off.
Who's pitching for the Indians?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know off the top of my head.
Well, because it would weigh heavily into my decision making if it's a lefty, especially
Quantrill. I think Cal. Yeah, Cal Quantrill.
Is he a lefty 27 or righty?
Year old? No, he's a righty.
Okay.
He bats left-handed, though, in case you
I don't
know
really
that.
Give a rat's ass about that. Who's heating up recently that probably would be the least likely but the most in Dusty's book that needs a day off? Alex Bregman.
Nope.
Okay, good. Yordan.
Okay, good. No, Yordan's in the lineup, DHing, batting
cleanup.
Don't
hate on the
Bregman
fact that Bregman's
third.
Here to prove you wrong, and as much as you were throwing dirt on his season that he's resurrected himself.
I said yesterday Alex Bregman was about to heat up, so you can stop with that.
Well, you've said multiple times you thought he was way past his prime.
Yuli Gurriel, though, by the way, another 0-for-4 yesterday. You see what his numbers are getting back down to, which just saying, Yuli Gurriel, after that little hot stretch where he went 10-for-20 with three home runs,
why are you excited to give him another eulogy?
After 0-for-4, I'm trying to fire him up. I'm trying to rev him up again.
You're so proud of the eulogy that you came up with that you want to use it again. Let's just pad the brakes on that.
I'm trying to brand him foot and mouth disease it and trying to heat him up again.
Kyle Tucker.
Nope, Kyle Tucker's in. Oh, you're right. Kyle Tucker's not in the lineup. Oh, so there's two regulars. There's two regulars.
But that's okay. But that more than anything else is Dusty's going to Dusty. He never goes with just one. It's like Lay's potato chips. You can't eat just one. With Dusty, it's like you can't sit just one.
Dusty's, how about that? He homered yesterday.
Dusty's Lay's potato chips moment is always, I can't sit just one. When I sit a starter, I sit two. Yay,
I didn't even
Dusty.
Realize that. I didn't even realize Tucker was out of the lineup because my attention drew to one. I didn't even realize that Tucker was out of the lineup. Yeah, Tucker hit a home run yesterday. He's not in playing today. You know what else is interesting?
What?
Who do you think's the best? Okay, so it's Jeremy Pena. That's the one that I was, but it is Tucker, too.
Who's
so
played
Pena
shortstop? Tucker, Diaz?
Yeah, Diaz is. Who's your best defensive center fielder?
I think it's Siri.
I think it's Siri by a mile, right?
Yeah.
Siri's playing right field tonight with Dubon playing center.
What?
Yeah. Siri's playing right field tonight while Dubon's playing center.
Well, I mean, at least you have speed in the outfield. I don't think Siri gets enough credit for his arm, by the way.
Siri's got a cannon, and Siri covers a lot of ground.
He sure does.
It's like a lot of people... I've bashed Siri before. I think Siri's great as a backup outfielder. Like, if he's your fifth outfielder and he's, like, not getting everyday starts, Jose Siri's more than fine.
His biggest issue is at the plate. I just don't have confidence in him offensively. But, boy, defensively and with his speed on the base paths, he has a lot that he brings to the table. I think you're right. I think if he's your fourth outfielder, you could do a lot worse.
Yeah, so Tucker and Pena getting the day off. Jeez. Dusty going to Dusty. Sitting Tucker the day after a home run and then starting to
JB's on the mound tonight?
No, it's Javier.
Oh, okay.
It's Christian Javier.
Do we have a song for him?
No, not yet. We got to figure out a way to give Christian Javier. We don't have one for Javier, and then we don't have one for Urquidy, right, Brendan?
Correct.
Yeah, so we got to figure out. I think the Wheelhouse at some point, maybe you can talk with the BK about this tomorrow. They're going to come up with an Urquidy song, but we have to figure out a way to get Christian Javier.
Urquidy. Mana, mana. Beep, 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 beep. You remember that from the Sesame Street days? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if I want that to be a song. So we got to figure out a way to get a Javier song at some point. 0830 saying, will Siri be used as a trade piece? Siri doesn't have value.
He doesn't.
Siri doesn't have the trade value. He could be a throw-in in a trade, but he doesn't have the trade value where he can be a trade piece.
And you don't want to do what you did with Toro, which you did simply because there was no way he was ever going to be a regular playing the position or positions he played on your team. And you wanted to give – it's the same reason they did the kid Bright, the LSU catcher that was Breggy's boy that they traded
–
they traded to the Giants. The good news with this organization is they look at it differently than Rafael Stone when they want to be a players-type management staff with the general manager. They're going to do you a solid. If they don't have room for you but they know you can play, they'll find some place for you to play and get your fair shot to make the big leagues, which I really completely believe that that's the right thing to do, and I give them credit for that. But at the same time, look, I think you trade guys that have value to other teams, and I don't know that anybody in the league is chomping at the bit to get their hands on Siri.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, Toro had more trade value than Siri did. Siri's kind of old, too. I mean, he's like his late 20s. He's bounced around a lot.
Toro's versatility helps him a bunch, too. He can play multiple different positions in the infield.
But if you're trading away a really good piece that a playoff contender wants, what you want in return is not Jose Siri.
Well, also, you either want an established veteran that can jump right in and has experience to help you, or you want a guy that's young enough that you can take for the short term but really develop for the long term, and he can be a piece for you for multiple years, which I don't think that you look at Siri that way in either regard.
1790 saying Verlander as a player that comes back to the Astros. He's still an Astro.
He's not going anywhere.
Jordan says, why does Dusty hate Javier? Every time he starts, he sits multiple hot bats. Tucker, a home run yesterday, gets the day off today.
Why does Dusty like sitting two starters at the same time? It still befuddles me.
Who has the most trade value on the Astros? I would say Hunter Brown. I think Hunter Brown has the most trade value on the Astros. For a team that's looking to rebuild. No, I think it's Brown.
I think it's Jeremy Pena.
Yeah, well, I mean somebody that you could trade. All right, it's going to do it for us. Happy birthday to Brendan once more. BK in for me tomorrow. Blank and BK tomorrow. You can listen to BK next with the Wheelhouse from 3 to 7. We'll talk to you, Blank, tomorrow. I'll talk to you next Tuesday. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Wheelhouse is next.
Stop.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep their trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.